Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I was running late. I'll have to tell the truth here. So that's why we are a little late getting on the air. But I have a great guest with us this afternoon, Betsy Manning, who is with South Carolina Youth Advocate Program. Yes, we're talking about foster care and all the things, and it's amazing. I was talking to her before, and she goes, Ann, we just keep needing more and more foster care. So that's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon. Betsy, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much.
Well, how has the last year been? Because it was, I guess, a year in May when you were on last time.
It's been busy.
Busy?
It's been busy nonstop, trying to educate and let people know about foster care and help people move to action to become foster parents.
That first step, moving to action, is the hardest, isn't it?
It is. It is. Statistics show us that it takes a family possibly up to 2 years before they even make the call to get a packet of information to actually send in.
That's a long time.
It is.
And particularly when we think of children,
right?
That's a long time.
Well, I can give you an idea why. It's such a huge commitment. Nobody that works in this field takes the care that children need lightly, and we don't want the families who are going into this to do that as well. So we want them to think about it. We want them to pray about it. We want them to reach out to their family and community and make that decision.
Now, being a foster parent, I think in one aspect is kind of hard because it's not forever.
No, I mean, you could foster forever as long as you kept up your license, but that's temporary care for children who are in foster care.
And every once in a while, there's one that'll really tug at your heart, and you'll hate to give him back.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. So, but for families, what is the type of, what would you call, the perfect foster parent or perfect foster family?
Well, there is no perfect family, whether they foster or not. But the ideal would be a family who has room in their heart, room in their home, and is willing to be patient and kind and love on a child that may not look like them, may not sound like them, may not, in some cases, be from their community, be able to work with DSS and be really flexible, because there's going to be several needs that this child has that maybe their birth children or children that they know may not have had. So patience, having that room, there's other requirements.
Sure.
But those things are very essential.
Sure. And of course, as a foster parent, when you get the call to when you've already signed up and you're all ready to go, you know, if you don't think a child is going to work in your family group, you can say, I just don't think this one's for us. Correct.
You can say that. We have a list of families that we choose from that may meet the need of that child. And if you decide, you know, not right now, or this isn't a good fit, definitely we'd rather you tell us than you invite that child into your home and that child has to move.
Sure. Because it's not good for the child to have to move them once and then move them again.
Right.
And that's where I think a lot of children get that bad feeling about being in foster care.
You're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct.
And not only that, you can actually, I remember one of the gals that I talked to about foster care, she's actually licensed for certain age groups.
That's right. That's right. You get to talk to us and let us know what age group, what sex you feel would fit into your family. And we also, through the process, talk about what behaviors you feel comfortable with. If they have certain things that have occurred that caused them to come into care, no fault of their own, but, you know, situations for while they're in care, all that is discussed through the process.
Now, do you think we're having more children coming into foster care than we used to?
I think it's an ebb and flow. It goes up and down depending on the time of the year. We also have children who are staying in care longer in some instances, not in every place, in every situation, but they may be a good fit for a home while their permanency plan is being worked out. It's just different factors. What I do know is true is we have homes that close, and we don't have that same amount of homes opening. And that's where the real problem lies. There will always be a need for additional homes. When those homes close, we need to replace them as soon as possible.
Sure. When you say a home closes, you mean the people decide that they don't want to take any more children right now. Right. Or
they close their license, and we have several reasons that happens, whether it's adoption, and their home may be full. You can have five children in your home. Their home may be full. They've met, you know, that number, and they can't do anymore.
Right.
They may be ill or have a sick family member they want to care for. We have a lot of families that move out of state. So there's different reasons that families close.
Now, you also bring up the fact that you keep bringing up this word license.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do you need to have a license to be a foster parent?
You go through a process with our agency. We have a contract with the South Carolina Department of Social Services, and we do the home study. We send in the background checks. We give you the information so you can have your fingerprints done. All of that information is combined and sent to Columbia, to the Department of Social Services state office. They make that final decision whether that home will be licensed. And that's how you receive your license.
So you actually receive that from DSS?
Correct.
Now, how does the South Carolina Youth Advocate Program fit with DSS?
We have a contract with DSS to recruit, retain, support, and license resource foster homes in 10 upstate counties. We're almost finishing up our third year of that contract, and that's how we fit. We support the foster home, the resource foster home. We have mentoring programs, we do support groups, we help ensure they continue their license by providing their training or connecting them to training in their community. So we really work hard to support that resource foster home.
Now, is Greenwood one of your counties?
It is.
It is. Well, how about that? And here you are.
And here I am.
Yeah, okay. And how is the situation right here in Greenwood?
Right here in Greenwood, we have about 12 licensed resource foster homes. We have 16 children in care. And I don't want people to think, we have 12 and 16. Those numbers are not so bad. But the reality of that is we may have 12 homes. 8 of those homes may be full already.
Sure.
So that breaks it down a little bit more. And 3 of those homes may only take females 4 to 6. So if we have a 10-year-old boy coming to care,
what do you do?
What do you do?
And what do you do? What do you do if you don't have the home? What do you do?
We have children that are placed out of county. And that's like a bad word, out of county.
Out of county. Okay.
Da, 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 da.
Okay.
So that's not what we want to do. But we need to have the home so they can stay in their county. But we don't want them to go into situations, group homes and things of that nature. It's better for them to be in a home setting. And if there's a home in Abbeville that can meet that child's need and keep them from having to go to a group home, then that would be a better fit if it meets the child's needs. Now, just to be clear, DSS makes that decision.
Makes what decision?
Whether they go to a
group
home.
What happens to the child if there's no home available?
Right. And they also decide which home. Like, we present them with 3 homes from our collection of homes, and they decide which home they will go to and if they need a different type of care.
Hmm. Okay. Well, not to bring up a bad subject, but there's been a lot of questions about what's been happening with DSS.
Mm-hmm.
How has that related to what y'all do?
It really hasn't, because our mission is to find quality homes for children who are in foster care. And we keep our day-to-day, that's our mission. We're finding homes for children in care. Sometimes we have to answer the hard questions, but we encourage people to contact DSS. I'd rather hear it from the person who's actually in it and not secondhand. And that's what we do. We encourage people, contact DSS. This is what we're doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, because I know that there's been a lot of question, and that's one of the things that's going to be part of what's coming up in the election here in November. So what else do we have here? We also have respite care. Now, what is respite care?
Respite care is more of a short-term option for families who are interested in fostering but may not be able to make a full-time commitment at this moment. Children stay in their home 3 to 5 days. It's temporary care for those children who already may have a established foster home,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes it can be used for emergency care. Children who come into care and a foster home may not be ready till 3 days later, to have a place for those children to go.
Or if the family had to go away, let's say,
right.
and they couldn't take the foster child with them, they'd say, can we find a home.
Right, a respite home. And they go through the same training, same requirements as a full-time resource foster family, get the same supports and the same trainings.
So it's and to the child, is that a problem for the child?
We haven't seen that it's a problem for the child, but, you know, any type of move
right
can be a situation.
And what about schools? Now, if you have a child that's in foster care here mm-hmm. in Greenwood mm-hmm. County, do we put them in the school district where they were or where the family lives?
Where the family lives. In some situations, if it's better for the child to stay in their own school district, we try to connect them with a family in that school district. That goes back to having an adequate amount of homes so we can make those decisions. But foster families are given the information they need to register the children in schools in their area if that's what needs to happen.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And another question here. Is this a money-making thing?
Absolutely not.
So when you hear about families who say, oh, yeah, I'm going to take in all the foster kids I can and make money off this deal. She's shaking her head, folks. She's being speechless that I asked this question. But it is one that I mm-hmm. think comes up, and I think sometimes people think that right. they can make money off of this.
That's true, and I hear that almost everywhere I go. But right now, the state has increased the stipend they provide to foster homes, mm-hmm. but it's increased from $11. From 0 to 5 is $11.07 a day. So,
how much?
$11.07 a day.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, it's not a money-making venture.
Sure. No.
Absolutely not.
Even if you had 3 or 4 kids, it's still not money-making.
No.
And their health care is provided by the state.
Absolutely. Children in foster care have state Medicaid, and that pays for medical, dental, vision, and any other therapy type services they need.
Okay, so mm-hmm. as far as that goes, but in today's economy, $11 does not go far.
No, not at all.
No, so no. You have to do this because you want to do this and because
that's
you
right.
believe in our children and the future of our
right.
country.
And that's why we want people to do it. Those
sure.
are the families we want.
Mm-hmm. How does a child come into foster care?
It can be different ways. Neglect, abuse, definitely through police going out, court making decision. They will be removed from dangerous situations. We do also have children, and I don't know of any personally, Ann. If they have an older parent, a grandparent taking care of them, and they can no longer take care of them, or they pass
that
away.
That happens, yeah.
That happens. That may be cause for someone to go into foster care. Not so much that parents are bad or are being, you know, neglectful, but sometimes those situations come up as well.
You know, one of the things that I think we always think about is these kids who just keep running away from mm-hmm. foster care. They're just miserable. And as a person that would be trying to do the right thing, that has to be tough. I mean, do we see that as much today, or are the kids like, oh my God, I've got a place to lay my head down? I don't know, so I'm asking.
It depends on the situation. Children, we have to keep in mind, children are being removed from situations that may be the norm for them. It may be normal for me not to have dinner, but to have breakfast. It may be normal for there to be things all over the floor. It's not until someone else comes in and say, you know, this is not healthy for you. And sometimes that can be a shock, and then it's traumatic to be removed. So if I was removed from my home,
right,
I would be a little angry, Ann.
Right, yeah, I'm sure. I would be too.
I would be a little angry, and you see that. But we're asking families to love them past that, help them understand that, and give them the care they need so hopefully they can return to a safe environment.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And do some of these children sometimes come up for adoption?
Yes.
Yes.
Some of them do. But we only do foster care,
sure.
and we refer them to Region 1 Adoptions or whatever region it is. I think it's Region 5 here in Greenwood. Don't quote me on that. But they do, and it's a process. It's termination of parental rights. The child has to go through that process with the birth family, and everybody gets that information. And if the foster family has had that child in their home for up to 6 months, they can apply to adopt.
Yeah, so that's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, our kids just go through so much in today's world.
They do.
And
they do.
You know, I think the economy is not great.
Right.
I think. So we have parents that are really stressed out, the ones that are trying to do right and may not even know what to do right. Yes, somebody's walking by there, Gracie, saying, make sure you don't come in here and bother us. Yes. All right.
I'm learning to love Gracie.
You're learning to love Gracie. All right, let's hear a word from our sponsors, and then we'll go to South Carolina News. We'll be back, and Gracie will be quiet again, won't you, Grace?
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Gracie's napping over there, and Betsy snapped a picture of Gracie so she can put out what a lovely, patient, sweet little girl Gracie is.
That's right.
That's right, Anne. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you know, I think there is a lot of misinformation that comes right out there for when you're thinking about being a foster parent. And before we go any further, we ought to go ahead and give out the telephone number, okay, if somebody wants to call you after the show, not during the show, but if they want to call to get some more information. What's your telephone number, Betsy?
They can call me directly on my cell phone. This okay is my cell phone number.
Okay.
864-357-9021.
Okay.
But we also have after our people answering the phone for our office, and that number is 312-6700.
And that's also 864.
864.
That's right.
That's right. And we have a website. I don't know if we had that the last time we were here. We have a website. You can go on our website and look under resource foster care, and it's www.scyap.com.
Okay. So good ways to get more information. Right. But, you know, what are some of the myths? Like, do you have to be married, be a married couple to have foster children?
You don't. You don't have to be married, but there are so many other requirements that we work with families that right are single, and we give them extra support because we know those families would need that. So you do not have to be married. You can be single.
Okay. All right, but there are licensing requirements just like if you were a married couple.
Right, right. It's the same process.
Okay. Now, what other things that, so you could be a single foster parent. Boy, that'd be a good way to find out if you want children. Oh, yeah. Amen, Ann. Okay, right?
Another question that comes up, am I too old? Am I too young? Okay. So you have to be at least 21.
Okay.
And if you can pass a physical by your doctor and he can release you saying that you're physically and emotionally able to care for children, then you're not too old. Okay. So those are some things to keep in mind.
Okay. And, you know, I guess some people might be more suited to an older child. Some people right might be more suited toward younger children,
right,
babies even,
correct,
right?
Correct, correct. We have families that take 0 to 5, and we have families who take 13 to 21.
So, to 21?
Yeah.
Till 21?
Yeah, if children sign an agreement with DSS after they turn, I believe it's 17, it may be 18, and they want to stay involved, get independent living skills, continue their education, they too will have a foster home because you imagine when I went to college, I came home.
Right.
And I had a home to come to. We want those children to have that same experience. We want them to have somebody to come to.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. Excuse me. That's a good thing. I just didn't realize that you could be in foster care till 21.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, there, see, you learn something new every day.
Every day.
That's right.
Every
okay
day.
Other things that people might think that puts them out of being a foster parent.
I don't have any children of my own. I get that a lot. I don't have children of my own, and I don't feel like I have that parenting experience. Could I still foster? Yes, you could. There is a pre-service. It's not going to train you to be a parent. I have an 8-year-old. God bless him. No training whatsoever.
They don't come with instructions, do they?
They don't come with instructions. But the pre-service helps you familiarize yourself with the type of children that come into care. There's ongoing training. We have support groups that meet monthly. We have a mentor that's set up to support you. So we wrap our arms around our families, and we support them whether you already have birth children or not. we help you with that. You don't have to be perfect. You don't already have to be a parent.
God, it sounds like it's going to take a lot of time out of my schedule, though, Betsy. If you've got all this going on and I'm required to do all this, how can I get all my other stuff done? Because that's a problem for people today.
It is. Sitting here trying to think about it, it would be hard for me to explain it to you, Ann. But we have families. I'm just being honest. Right? It would be hard for me to explain it to you. But we have families who are so committed to caring for children that it works out. We have families that work full-time, who receive an ABC voucher from DSS, may not pay the full amount of daycare, mm-hmm. offsets that cost. We have families who have other family members who become alternate caregivers, whereas they have to do something, they have this person already in place, and we help those families set that up. So they're already on the list, they're already approved. They can go to Aunt Sonia's house or whoever. Sure. So it's ways to do it, but that commitment has to be there. You have to be willing to work on that. It is a huge commitment. Yeah. And we don't want families to take it lightly.
No. And you know, you're taking a child that is going to have some issues, right, regardless. I mean, mm-hmm. whether it's, like you said, that there's things all over the floor and nobody cares, mm-hmm. or whether it's that we only do breakfast and we don't do dinner, or we don't sit down at the table.
Right.
All those type of things.
Right. And the thing to remember, and what I like to share with families, is children come into care no fault of their own. Children that look like my child or somebody that you know, they just have different experiences. And all children need love, not just my child, but all children.
I would think one of the things that would be a potential good experience, mm-hmm. out of it is if you do have children and you bring another child in, gets them off that centric world that they seem, right, that our children seem to live in.
Right. And I've heard that time and time again. It changed my whole family. It's a mission for our family. It's not just I want to parent another child. It's something that moves the whole family. They learn that compassion. They learn how to be considerate and care for other people and know that there's people that live a different life than they live.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things to consider, too. It can be a good thing for the family,
right,
unit.
Absolutely.
And, you know, today we're trying to talk so much more about teaching our children about being gratitude and thinking about others instead of thinking about ourselves all the time.
Right.
So this could be a good thing for a family. Now, mm-hmm. Does the child have to have their own bedroom?
They don't have to have their own bedroom. If the foster family is okay with them sharing a room,
sure,
with their birth children, same sex,
right,
that would be perfect. They,
okay,
do need to have their own bed.
Right. Okay. I'm for that. My own,
right,
bed. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So those are just some of the things that one should consider. I know last year when you were on, you were just thrilled that after the show, you got a couple, three calls out of Greenwood wanting information.
Yes, yes. And we hope that we'll get calls today and tomorrow and into next week. We want people to call and get more information. I do want to say something, Ann, with siblings, it's depending on the age group, and mm-hmm. we would work with the foster family to figure that out. In those cases, they could share a bed, but there's ages, sex, and no history of sexual abuse or things like that. So there's things to consider. So just want to make sure I'm clear,
sure,
about that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that has to be tough, too, if you have siblings, mm-hmm. From one family taken, and maybe they have to go to different foster families.
Right. That's very difficult. In no case do we want to split siblings. And that's one of our biggest issues, trying to keep siblings in. And just lately, we've had a lot of large sibling groups come into care. And a lot of our foster homes don't have these huge homes where they can accommodate six children,
wow,
in one place. So it's very heart-wrenching for all of our staff, for everybody that's involved, having to split those children up.
Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about as far as foster care, mm-hmm. and what about working with the parents that are the parents of the children that are in foster care?
Great
I know
question.
Sometimes they try to they try to work towards a reunification?
Correct. That's a great question. If the birth family is working toward reunification and DSS deems it appropriate, our foster family is encouraged to work with that birth family. However, they feel comfortable in doing so, and it's not inviting them over to dinner. That's up to the foster parent and DSS. But it could be as simple as letting the child have a note from their birth family, mm-hmm. taking a picture of the child doing something they've never done before and sharing it with the birth family. It's small steps to help that child see everyone as a team. We want everybody to work as a team, and we have great outcomes for children who get to experience that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are here with Betsy Manning. You know, you can call their office number, 864-312-6700. That's 864-312-6700. You can also, if you really want to just have a personal conversation mm-hmm. with Betsy Manning, you can call her cell phone, 864-357-9021. That's 864-357-9021. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Betsy Gray Manning. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Got a double name going on there. She's with the South Carolina Youth Advocate Program. She is out of Spartanburg, and Greenwood is one of the counties that she works with. And they really, really, really need more foster parent care
right.
in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all feel for children.
Right.
We all feel for children. You know, one of the things that I believe firmly is that we need to help our own
mm-hmm.
in our
Correct.
Own communities, in
Correct.
Our own areas.
Mm-hmm.
I know the border
mm-hmm.
is a serious, serious subject.
Mm-hmm.
But then we look at how many children in our own country
mm-hmm.
that go hungry, that need foster care
right.
and need parenting and this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe we need to take care of our children here first
mm-hmm.
and then see what's left over and what can be done. So if you have it in your heart to do something for a child in our area, in this county,
mm-hmm.
it would be awesome. It would
right.
be lovely to be able to say, we've got 25 homes available
right.
and we only have 16 children needing
right.
homes.
Right. That would be perfect to say. And we have more options for children who come into care. We have a better chance of keeping them in their schools, in their communities, and close to healthy connections.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. It has to be bittersweet when you've made made a connection with a child,
mm-hmm.
maybe one that was a, what shall we call, a bad actor maybe, you know,
right.
that
mm-hmm.
just was under a lot of stress.
Right.
You know, we
mm-hmm.
see the same thing with dogs and cats under a lot of stress. They get adopted. They don't know what's going on.
Right, right.
And they have to go through a process. But it has to be bittersweet when a foster parent knows that they have done something to bring that child along.
Yes. I've heard so many stories about families. I just heard one maybe last month. They had a child come to their home, and the child didn't smile. Didn't smile. Day one went by, no smile. Day two, no smile. And then by day three, they saw a glimmer of a smile. And then it turned into a full smile. And the gentleman that was telling me about it, I could see his eyes watering and my eyes were watering. It moves you
right.
to see that breakthrough, because you actually get to see it happening in front of you. Children come into care, they're afraid.
Sure.
They sometimes don't know the full extent of what's going on. And they have to learn to trust you.
Sure.
You're strangers. And when you see them opening up, that makes the difference. And this gentleman told me, that's why I do it. That's why I continue to do it. That's why I encourage other people to foster.
Well,
so it makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we all would like to make a difference
right.
in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of how we're built,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there is so much conversation and so much action to do things. And one of the things about Greenwood that I've always said, when there's a need, the people step forth to do. So, and I really think that's because we had Greenwood Mills here, and it fosters that community. A lot of people come into this community and they say, I've never seen anything like it. So, I know that there's people out there that could use a little joy in their life, maybe a little challenge in their life. And this would be a great way, and if you have children in your family, to bring an extra child in to let them see what maybe what they're missing, what they could gain.
It makes a difference in the entire family for sure. And in the community, you'll be amazed how people wrap their arms around you just like we want to and help you when you're trying to help a child in need. It's a great thing to see and to hear about.
So you don't have to be married.
You
do have to be 21. You do have to be 21. You may not be too old if you can pass a physical and still keep everything under control, right?
Yes,
that's right. Well, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of empty nesters. Where their kids have gone off to college or maybe moved away for good and aren't coming home. And they don't like to be empty nesters.
That's right. And amazingly enough, older foster parents are less threatening to children. They don't think they're taking their parents' place. They're more of a grandmother, grandfather, or just grandmother type figure. And it's a good situation for children to come into. Just getting that. Sometimes I miss my grandmother's love. She's not with us anymore. And it's just a comforting thing. So we welcome that. We welcome our older families.
So empty nesters out there that, and you know, the nice thing about it is you could have a child for what, a couple, 3 months, help turn things around, and then your job is done, and you go and do something else and have your home available when another child that fits your needs as well as the needs of the child.
I was going to say that. We'll have another one coming.
Exactly. So those are some of the good things about foster care. It's not a bed of roses, though.
No, it's not.
And I think that you need to have your eyes wide open when you do this. Now, one of the things, do you have to be a church-going person to have foster care children?
You don't. That's not a question that's on any of our intake forms. It's not on the application. It's not.
It's not. Okay. Well, I just wondered, you know, sometimes people think that you have to be, I love that, that we run a commercial on our station, and it's you don't have to be a perfect parent, you just have to be there. You know, that's
same
one for a same type of thing.
Same type of thing.
Kids need to know that they're cared for. And you know, if we're ever going to break the cycle in things that are bad that children are in this type of thing, it really almost actually would start in some ways with foster care, wouldn't it?
It would. That's one way to break that cycle. We do know that everybody cannot foster. There's mentoring opportunities. There's opportunities to volunteer with your local foster parent association or to donate a service or a good to a foster family. So there's other ways to make a difference.
So you could offer to help out a foster family. So see, if you can't become a full-time, meaning for the time that you have that child on hand, but you want to get involved, you can get involved. Well, that's a good thing, too. Now, I guess they'd have to call you, Betsy, to find out more about that.
I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay, her cell phone again is 864-357-9021, and their office is 864-312-6700. And this is Betsy Gray Manning right here with us today. You know, Betsy, I've got to say, in the year that we've since we've talked, you've grown in this job.
I have. Thank you, Anne, for noticing.
It looks like you are really being a lot more comfortable.
I am, and it comes from talking to people and just sharing a piece of myself with them, and they share a piece of themselves with me, and it's really helped me to grow and to recognize that what I'm doing is important stuff. It's not just a job. If I could take 100 children home and care for them adequately, that may be what I would do, because I just feel really strongly about making a difference in the life of a child. And I hope that I share that when I speak and when I go places. That's what I want people to remember, not me Betsy, but what we're trying to do here.
Sure. Well, you know, we always say that children are the future.
That's right.
And so while raising your own children the best that you can and giving them those life skills to go out and accomplish in this world, to be able to help another child that wasn't your birth child is an awesome gift to that child.
Awesome gift. You are more than a hero. You're a superhero.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just wonder, do we ever have foster parents who, even after a child goes back to their family, that maybe keeps in touch?
Yes. There's opportunities with resource foster care to stay connected to that family and be a mentor for that child, or even for that birth family. That increases the chances of that child not coming back into care. In lots of cases, families don't have that support. And when they have that support, there's chances of them getting help when they need it and not when it's too late.
Yeah.
So there are opportunities to do that when it's appropriate.
When it's appropriate. Well, that is terrific. And I know over my years of being in business, I have gotten letters from gals basically who have said, I didn't like your attitude when I was working. I didn't know why I had to do this. Uh-huh. And now that they're out in the world, they'll write a letter back and say, but you know what? I understand now.
Yes.
And thank you for making me do what was right.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm sure that there are those type of letters that come back from two foster parents who have worked hard. And, you know, it's not easy saying, no, you can't.
Right. Right. They get invited to graduations, to weddings. I've heard lots of stories, christening of their new children, and it's just a wonderful thing.
So it's an extended family.
It is.
Extended family. Yeah. Well, Betsy Gray Manning, I'm going to give out your telephone number one more time, 864-357-9021. That's 864-357-9021. And your office number, 864-312-6700. Please contact her and at least talk to her about this. That's right. Mm-hmm. You may not be for you, but you won't know if you don't ask some questions.
That's exactly correct.
All right. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. I am Ann Eller. Betsy, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having us back.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. I'll be back in the morning. You keep it right here on WCRS.